Alright, well, I'm sure you're satisfied now that you've participated in such a childish gesture. Scientists bred a race of lazy mice, gave sedentary mice a drug that provided them with the benefits of exercise, created sleepless fruit flies, stopped mouse livers from aging, gave knee injuries to a race of cartilage regenerating mice who quickly recovered, grew hair on bald mice, and found that hairless mice exposed to large doses of ultraviolet light were likelier to develop melanomas if they also wore commercial skin moisturizers. They gave mice aggressive cancers and then slowed tumor growth with vitamin C injections, increased the efficiency of brain tumor drugs in rats by giving them erectile dysfunction drugs, and prevented macaques from contracting HIV by providing them with vaginal microbicide gels before sex. They bred male mice whose sense of direction is worse than that of female mice, and found that alcoholic mice who were forced to stop drinking no longer try to swim when placed in a beaker of water, perhaps indicating that the mice are depressed. Roughly 115 million lab animals were being used in scientific studies every year.
Marine biologists gave octopuses Rubik's cubes to play with in order to discover whether the animals favor a particular tentacle or are octidextrous. And a U.S. District Court judge approved an experiment that will train baby black sea bass to associate a 280 hertz tone with food after the fish grow up and release the tone will lure them back to be caught. Herpetologists studying the concave-eared torrent frogs of China's Yellow Mountains found that the frogs can selectively listen to different frequencies of sounds, depending on whether they need to tune out the rushing sounds of waterfalls. Malaysian pen-tailed tree shrews, it was determined, can drink heavily without getting drunk, and biologists found that the epaulette sharks of the Great Barrier Reef shut down much of their nervous systems and go blind at night when their surroundings become starved of oxygen. A white whale was spotted off eastern Australia. Spanish euro notes, said chemists, have accumulated the most cocaine. A neurologist was developing a portable nasal spray with which soldiers can treat their own brain traumas. Post-traumatic stress disorder victims were found to suffer a 5-10% loss of gray brain matter, and ecologists in Wales feared an invasion by carnivorous nocturnal blade-toothed eyeless ghost slugs. Scientists who designed a computer model of a street full of drunk Welshmen concluded that fights break out on nightlife-heavy streets because staggering drunks impede and thereby irritate other people. Men's beer goggles remain in place for up to 24 hours after they stop drinking, and men's testosterone levels rise in the presence of a woman in preparation for mating. Regardless of whether they find the woman attractive,
Economists talking about the door girl?
Yeah. American women start out life happier than American men, but die.
There are only 8.9 people.
And that the men overtake the women.
The whole male part of the room was turned.
Male Mexican laborers in California were found to be twice as likely as their home country counterparts to exchange sex for food, shelter, or money.
Door girl was
and
so
behaviorists
troubling.
Found that making people feel poorer encourages them to buy lottery tickets,
which I do constantly.
Feelings of
when I'm shooting something, I'll pick out somebody and fall in love, and I just stay completely in love with that person until I hit stop, and then I go, you know,
about a growing demand for
its viewfinder,
designer vaginas.
Jeez, what happened to the show now? He said, I can't bring myself to say it.
How doth the little crocodile improve his shining tail and pour the waters of the Nile on every golden skin?
That's where the monster shows up.
The monster?
applesauce.
Okay, somewhere in
monster,
this bag,
you say
I'm
you've well, let's just call it the phenomenon. Connectorum. You know, the human mind can play strange tricks. This so-called monster you say you saw, well, I think what you need to do is to sit down and to take a deep breath and consider one of the greatest minds rarely examined by history. The mind of Maimonides. Remember him?
Well, I see why Don was
Are you speaking of Maimonides?
Why Don
Worst
was so
case
confused.
Of Maimonides I ever saw.
It just happens to be the way it is out there in space.
The vinyl frontier.
Those last few shows were kind of interesting with the sudden appearance of a false host and disappearance of the same false host.
But that was necessary on the night the police raided us.
Well, you saw the cut, right, that I made of that. I love that.
I haven't seen that
yet. The police are here, and then you immediately say, why does this always happen?
Is this area nice?
As if it's like every show we call the cops, you know? Damn, again, they're here.
It's just
it was really funny.
Well, it's ad libitum. Yes, folks, you've got to come to the Ask Dr. Hal show and enjoy
the
fabled...
Which one?
What network are you speaking
of? I just see mainly this. I see two of them, and one of them says Area 1941.
Which one are you talking about?
Maimonides? Not
the,
Maimonides?
The network.
What the?
The network. Warwick.
He understood mathematics, ethics, logic, astronomy, politics, and theology. What a guy. But that's not all, folks. He was a synthesist.
Say, right. Man, how's what? Your synthesis going?
Well, I'm attempting it, of course. One always attempts that. Throughout life, it is the job of the Uber brain to synthesize or bind together the disparate elements of existence. All the strange freaks that the universe...
How's that going for you there, fella?
Well, ultimately it
fails. How you doing on that?
Because the universe is too monstrous and grotesque to...
See if you can get that fixed this year, okay?
One sissy little being
can't... Have you checked the Yellow Pages for a local provider?
Incredible horrors that lie beyond. But
there's an incredible horrors provider on 57th
You only have
Street.
To do it for a certain limited length of time and then shuffle off also to Buffalo.
This certainly is a
mortal coil. It's
too beyond the ability.
You know, Maimonides, or you might say Maimonides, has an influence in philosophy equal to that of Plato. His medical discoveries rank him on par with Hippocrates. His religious writings are significant, I would say. So,
I can do this a little bit.
St. Augustine, and the U.S. Congress places him on the level of importance with Hammurabi and our own Thomas Jefferson. Yes, he was...
I just turned it down a bunch.
That's
there goes 420 guy.
One of Christian's greatest
minds. Yeah, really, in a way that was painful. Less powerfully drilling the show, depositing it into the inner core.
So this is happily playing, and nothing's happening here.
Well, we were reminiscing about the show, and
we were still there, weren't we?
You know, it was...
Are you here with us now?
Just incredible, inside the giant chicken outfit, and doing a very vigorous duplication of chicken motion.
Just incredible, crawling around under the tables during the show,
yes,
handing up
fun.
Tanks of things.
Tanks for the memory.
That was a pretty fun show. With nobody there, and I get all this credit. People talked about puzzling evidence for an hour and a half.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you got
that's,
that.
They heard that was going to happen. That's why they didn't show up, I guess, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, that's, stayed away in droves.
Some people showed up who I was very happy to see.
Yeah, it was quite a night. It was a really fun show. And at one point early on, Chicken was talking about how even if nobody was here, you'd do the show. And I remember thinking, that's exactly.
It is true.
The show's not just for the audience. And those shows with nobody there, it's like the show I was bethinking that was on KPFA years ago. The first time I came down to the show and tried to turn the show on and didn't know how. And so we did show, but it didn't. We kept calling these calls like, where are you guys?
Man.
And we're going, we're here. We're in the room screaming. We were trying to scream as loud to hear so they could hear us.
It was like a dimensional thing where you could only see them in the mirror.
Really?
You could only hear them in the mirror image on the radio. On the radio.
Oh, they're streaming. I get it.
They're streaming.
Here it comes.
You can hear the stream going.
Babbling as it burbles over rocks.
It's a
into limpid
stream.
Pools. Striking and raging as if war waging. Dizzying and
like
deafening
this.
The air with its sound.
This used to be what a daily occurrence for
what
me.
You got the top secret classified Air Force.
Yes.
Wow, this is.
There it is. We're heading off on our
B-52
strafing mission.
Props don't seem to be turning around fast enough to be drawing the aircraft, but it's actually
not.
Taking off at this moment.
Yeah, but they don't need to go very fast.
And spitting flame out the sides. Look at that.
As it were. It's a Super Connie.
See, it was all about the shape.
This is a Super Connie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And her props
cowl.
Are being.
And there's
not,
a Super Bob right
not,
behind that.
Oh, don't look at the Super Bob. Don't look at the Super Bob.
The Super Bob too late. Has
call
a
her.
Pipe.
Call her. Don't look at the Super
look
Bob.
At it. It looks like it has a pipe.
Oh, this is Taxi Bob.
That is a monster.
Taxi Bob.
Show.
Look at the Super Bob.
You're
fabrication. Not this.
Don't
is
look at the face of the Super Bob.
Super Bob.
It's a, it is a boy.
I've been bragging about the show.
Don't go into the
you
woods
have?
And.
Where do,
yeah.
Where,
don't look in the basement.
Been bragging to your friends with political connections?
Yeah, kind of like that.
Yeah.
Really?
Support
wow.
group connections.
Oh, whoa, support group connections, yeah.
I'm really? Telling this friend of mine, please tune in to Puzzling Evidence.
And then what happened?
You've got to hear this show. She said she would. So
and
can I say
I
hello
if
to
she
her?
Did.
Sure.
Hello, Louise.
Hello, Louise.
Hello, Jim Stoff
from.
Every little breeze.
And
the
guy who. Had the K-Rob moment is a listener, is a faithful
oh,
listener.
Oh, yes. Well, I hope he
I don't
wasn't
remember his name right now.
Severely traumatized by that dreadful.
And hardly anybody was there to see his K-Rob moment.
That's
his
sad.
Moment
but
of
the
realization.
The K-Rob moment for me actually occurred after the show.
Oh,
when
yeah?
All of the staff and their
management.
Escorts and family and management, yeah, were all K-Rob momenting so fast. It was like a machine gun K-Rob momenting. But that's what it was there for.
Well,
so really
I remember the good old days
tragedy.
When we would be momenting, you know.
I was
Enterprise
describing to somebody
some
recently the Tank Queen status at
Tanks
the first
memory.
Dock Stock, I guess it was.
Uh-huh.
Is that the trailer one? Yeah, it was out of the at
you were
Sterno's
talking to
trailer.
Somebody that was there?
No, I was describing to somebody the wonder of that funny event
yeah.
in the giant can of church air that
yeah.
went for exactly 12 hours.
Yeah, do you remember
and
when
there was
they,
a staff that attended to the Queen?
Yeah,
and never left.
And
where
never
I had
left.
To,
I had to come and go.
So I had
from
to go.
Time
yeah,
to
I went to play music too. I came to play music, man. It's
we came to play music and to destroy the music.
And I have tapes of that.
We destroyed the music that
we
night.
We destroyed the music and the instruments, most of them.
Yeah.
I've
even
got
the
a tape.
Upright
well,
piano.
I shot it, but it might be on Doug's tape of Sterno, like you know, probably 11 the next morning, stumbling and looking at this pile of piano, going, "But that's my piano."
Yeah.
And thinking. Oh, I didn't
that
know
was
we're
so
supposed
sad.
To do that.
It was everything we could do to... We tried our best to break those strings, and they couldn't get the strings on the backboard to...
The bombs, the inadvertent
the soundboard
ties.
To break.
And snap like a...
When I get to the bus,
yeah.
Snap like the
snap
ice.
Like a...
The
snap like playing a banjo.
Yeah.
So all detaches so easily from the body. Just as puzzling Evan sees the car... Flying out.
I do. I see the ka, the little soul that's in that metal container, flies out of the Malkuses of the subgenius demigods after they engage the church air buttons.
As we warn. And they partly escape, or some of them, maybe they fully escape.
Did you
see
the one?
See them streaming out of there.
Yeah, they're streaming and screaming.
Well,
did you see the streaming, the video that explained the world's most important 6-second drum loop? Puzzling
electronic
no.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh,
explains
I'm gonna send
it.
That to you.
Yeah.
Because it is really good.
It? Yeah.
Yeah. I want you. Now you see, say I gotta share that with you.
Saucer-shaped craft.
I'm sharing it now.
Traveling at.
I'm sharing it with.
Right angle to its original line of flight here. It is traveling perpendicularly to that flight line. And on the next slide, you can see the craft is. You can see this definite disc-like shape, and this over here at the edge is believed to be some kind of landing pond or ground landing structure. We're going to try to have a computer resolution of this picture, and that may show us something about how our friends land when they do decide to visit. Okay, let's have the next slide.
Oh, I see. This is now
where... Here's one of the aliens
the sex goddess
itself.
Is.
Yeah, we call it, or rather her...
well, the illusion of a her, but sure, people, humans feel better seeing it.
It's Boopsy Lou Henderson from beyond the coal sack nebula. Girl, can you with me? And she wants to know everything about it, and will know it on the molecular level.
Kind of like they're trying to do a dirty water imitation.
Oh, well, you needn't worry about such considerations. Once you're aboard the pleasure saucers, sex
goddess,
that will have to be shed like a snake sheds its skin for the new you to emerge shiny and glistening.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't read that part of the contract. I don't know if it...
Everybody will be doing it, Pops. Daddy-o. I know, this is dreadful impertinence, but one has to go along with the ethos.
What happens if, during the K-Rob moment, that's what happens? The people are sent away on an extra...
Man, I don't want it to happen. These things are beyond my control. You know, there's only so much I can do.
And to us, did you watch the Ask Dr. Hal show? What is it, 12? The K-Rob, the entire K-Rob moment of last week's show is in part two. And the young man stands up, he's leaving the stage, he kind of waves to you guys and steps off, and he goes, whoa, this is the moment where he's like, he just about loses.
This is terrible. Everybody in the world is seeing this illegal drug use.
That's terrible.
Do you think it should be not on there?
Well, I don't know.
It's not actually illegal. See, nothing on there is
it's not illegal?
No.
Even that big marijuana pipe is not illegal?
No.
No,
it's, how do you know it's a marijuana pipe? And, I saw people smoking tobacco and clove gum, clove cigarette tobacco in there.
Well,
Hal's calling to his most holy gods, chimichanga. And,
there's a powdered milk, American pasteurized processed cheese spread in giant government-issued bricks and other... gourmand delights coming down the pipe in just little ways. And we also have some extra programming brought to you by our very special friends on the other side of the secret frontier. In just a few moments, we'll be here in Japan. Now we have to cross the highway of hazard and pull into the diner of destiny, and we will eat the pancakes of prophecy and whiz into the future, which is something like pissing into the wind. Yes, we will fly from this present time into a future world. What wonders will we see? Oh, giant bird, screaming steel towers from hundreds of feet high, overhead spiral ramps, pygmy helicopters, and landing on landing stages. There's the monorail. Yeah, the whole thing's under this big dome.
A big dome?
A big dome, man. It rains on the outside.
I thought you said it had a...
No, King Kong can't save us this time. So relax and settle into the Starlight Lounge and be my guest.
So what you're saying is that someday there will be slack, right?
Make a difference. My course is success.
Yeah. Oh, you heard that album. Bjork did an album.
Bring you
in for the subgeniuses. Someday there will be slack.
That's sort of like a harem of conscription.
Yeah. Because being from Iceland, but she understands slack.
Maybe I hear you when saying, they, oh, doctor, I don't have time to undergo some
linguistic
rigmarole. My life
like
is already far too complicated.
Well, it's not false slack. It's not anti-slack.
Okay.
True slack, new slack, could be old slack.
A truer word.
Someday the bastards will be worn down, and someday there will be slack.
You can use old slack.
Yeah, you can drown yourself. Swim a backstroke down in the river
unzip
slack. You can OD on slack. You can skin pop slack.
As your skin
you can resurrect yourself endlessly in slack.
Grooving in your inner tube as you float.
I want a world where I get all the slack
the river,
I want. Forget about a world where politicians
river,
don't lie.
Foaming, bursting, born away.
That's not going to happen.
They are
forget
still
that.
Immortal who through births
or. I want you
portal,
to go out there
and death's dark
and
chasm.
Find a slack mammal
and
impregnate it. Have sex with a slack
find
mammal.
Their cars and chariots are all
plant a slack
concealed
seed
by
deep.
Dust.
Lay a slack egg for the future.
And bright are they as the robes they last on.
Hide a slack time bomb in your gym locker underneath your sweaty gym shorts.
Okay, I will do that.
Gym shorts. I remember him in
it's there,
college,
now.
Intermediate swimming, developmental
and
activities.
And now the color, resembled by a pack of beans.
Someday,
speaks.
Slack will be yours. Yes, go, caller.
Go. Okay, caller, let's see what you're made
it's
of.
It's a ghostly, painful caller. He wants the slack we have.
He wants the
don't
slack.
Don't be a slack
we
vampire.
You don't have to have the slack we have because there's plenty to go around. There's always more slack than ever gets used.
You're really cleaning up on these soundtrack albums.
Yeah.
These fine albums are not available in any store.
Finding them in the stupid pile at the
Max Steiner's classic film score. Yeah, from They Died With Their Boots On. Ever
they
seen it?
They Died With Their Boots.
Yeah, one of my favorites. Because I love Custer and Hitler movies.
Yeah.
Well, it's not got Hitler, but it's got...
not? Oh. Well,
what if you had a Hester Cutler movie?
Yeah, that'd be good. Like they help each other?
Yeah. And his name is Hester and Cutler.
Hester
color,
was
though.
The name of the conqueror predicted by Nostradamus.
Oh, I'm not sure what that is.
And people have often said that meant Hitler, but Hester doesn't sound well. Oh, well, all the orchestra.
Hester, yeah, but there's also a Hester River. Don't forget about the Hester River.
Silent movies, like this shot of Bull Montana.
I believe Germany. Is it the Hester River in Germany?
Germany people? Yeah, that's one of my favorite quotes from last week's show.
Oh, my gosh.
Is somebody says, well, you know, what were the German, you know, below the Germans? And Cardell's robot says, Germany people. And it's the perfect answer at the perfect time in a perfect world where the sun comes up shiny every morning. And we'll all die with our boots on when the economy falls in a big toilet and flushes away.
Whee! Actually, Hister is the Latin name for the Danube River.
You know, I was thinking of the charge of the Light Brigade. They died with their boots on. Mm-hmm. It's quite different, and it is Custer. It isn't Hitler.
No, I'm saying I like Hitler movies and Custer movies because they show wonderful insights on the generations that
make
them.
Well, have you gone to see the new... Valkyrie, that one?
Uh-huh. Yes, I have seen
right.
it.
Is it good?
And?
Did you like
you
it?
Think?
Oh, yeah.
Is it okay?
It's technically just a tight little okay movie.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How'd Tom Cruise do?
And did they say Hitler's...
Cruise does fine. He looks a lot like von Stauffenberg. And the best thing is the... Well, not the best thing for you guys, but the opening shot in the movie when he's in, supposed to be in Egypt, I guess, or someplace fighting the British,
and
then he gets blown up. I thought he got blown up real good in Russia, but I have to look that up again. But I guess he got blown up real good in the desert, and it's all shot on the Johnson Recreation Area, about 10 miles from my friend's house. And you can see, they look down into the Victorville, and there's the Sierras. But they have these great, all these wonderful Wunderkampfwagens and trucks and guys in tanks, and it must have looked really cool out there.
Oh, yeah. And, where was Nostradamus at the time?
What is that movie? There's a movie about Nostradamus in which he is in a wagon, and he looks out the wagon, and there are World War II German guys running around and tanks firing, and he's yelling... You know, he sees, it's supposed to be a vision, but it's this wonderfully bad
three
little, like as if he's driven across a combat set.
Is that Bob Nelson?
No, this is Uncle Kurt. I want to talk to that bitch Aunt Bertha.
And somebody who's being very abusive and is trying to contact Aunt Bertha, the seance.
Do you want to channel Aunt Bertha, Dr. Howe?
Well, I don't know. Are we going to have a seance here? I thought all those things
were
fake.
We're going to attempt to channel Aunt Bertha at the request of this caller.
Well,
so
we've
got
to listen to this caller, see what he's up to. He sounds like an angry man. I'm not so sure I want
you
to.
You sound a little angry, caller.
Anyway, I have a show to do and miles to go before I sleep.
So sad. So
it is so sad. And watch out for those.
Watch out for the thorns.
That's the telephone, right? The telephone.
It's coming from underneath the floor.
Yes.
Miles to go before I sleep. What was he supposed to say back to that?
Well, he's with the gnomes now, exploring the underworld and its crystalline caverns. I guess you saw those pictures of the underground crystalline world they discovered under Mexico?
Oh, no.
That was on the internet?
Yeah, no, the one in not too far from here. The just south of the, not the Sierra National Forest, but the Yosemite National Forest. Just got to get out of there for a moment, you know, wash the airwaves here.
Mysterious Valley of
the woods are lovely, dark and deep. But I
Mexico's,
have promises to keep.
Sierra and Madre Oriental.
I sleep.
Look at the clinking those piano keys. Wearing the ivory off the keys. So you can't legitimately say he tickles the ivory. Or the ivory is long.
What is it? What's that? Is that a subgenius thing, the E-I-I-I?
I don't know what it is.
How do you spell E-I-I-I?
It came from Bob Clampett via Ivan Stang. It was a sound that Clampett personally made and added to his cartoons, and that's where Stang got it.
Okay.
That was one of the first things he taught me, how to make that sound.
So it's kind of like an initiation thing?
Yeah, it actually predates a lot of other things.
Oh, this is just a guy thing, right? I mean, it's a sausage.
It predates a lot of things in terms of its adaptation.
It's just so beautiful.
Adaptation.
You mean when man bats from the moon captured New York?
Yeah,
that's the one. That's the one. That's the one.
It was the summer of 1835. And then
poverty.
You're talking about this show's decadence, right?
New York Sun convinced the citizens
that
the moon was inhabited.
If you survive the show, let me know. But personally, I'm betting on the monster.
Six articles purporting to reveal the discoveries made by a British astronomer
here, Monsieur.
Describe the life found on the moon, including unicorns, beavers that walked upright, and 4-foot tall flying man bats. The series quickly became the most widely circulated newspaper story of the era, and The Sun, a brash working class upstart less than 2 years old, had become the most widely read newspaper in the world. And Edgar
and
Allan
how
Poe
they know that?
Was convinced that they were ripping him off.
And how does he know that?
Apparently was working in a similar direction, talking about the flying man bats of the moon. How do I know? I wasn't there.
That's a way to treat your toys.
See, the giant flying man bats. Actually, I have seen them. They are quite dangerous.
The flying man bats?
Yes. I'll send you a picture.
Yes, I would like to see a man bat.
I'll send you pictures of these particular man bats.
Whoa, they're firing little missiles.
I think they might surprise.
They're using freeze windows.
The
blimps are firing back now.
Cordo Pacagium, the,
The computer just crashed. Oh, viruses.
A flap of skin stretching between the tail and the
total defrag of the program. Sorry, folks. You're going to have to reload the show.
Are you talking about 4 foot tall?
And, just
they're
refresh
like
your screen and reload
upright.
The show, and we'll be right
That's
back.
Right. Beavers that walk upright and 4 foot tall flying man bats of the moon.
The U.S. government moon secrets revealed. 4 foot tall flying man bats.
Well, now, see, it, the
there they are,
out,
August 15th.
I tried to explain the craft or
the
saucer or whatever
silence.
You want to call it.
The secret is out. It's out now.
Once you accept the initial strangeness of it, it really does start to make sense. That is, the man-bats seem to be an ideal configuration for the lunar biosphere. The lunar gravitational pull means that such an improbable creature can actually get aloft of lesser and tenuous lunar atmosphere, which was thought for many years not even to exist.
It's and they apparently commune in the Selenian utopia with
man
I crap you negative.
These are flying, these are actually flying man bats.
Yeah, and I can show
if you, know
you
what I mean,
pictures. They're hanging. They're women also. They're hanging around.
On our shoulders and on our helmets and all over everything, we're bats, and we would take off like this from the deck.
Wow.
Now, was it flying man bats? Is man bat one word or two?
I believe here it's hyphenated. Let's see. Yes, 4 foot tall, and that's hyphenated.
And on
flying man bats.
On the tails of some of the aircraft, you can see bats. We would paint various sizes on the old A3s.
A character named Richard Adams Locke never intended it to be a hoax at all, but it was considered a hoax later. Locke's man bat made their New York debut on Friday, August 28th, and by Saturday, they were the talk of the town. Temporarily forgotten, tales of abolition.
Oh, so you're referring to the comet in the sun in the moon, okay.
Newspapers and taken up on countless street corners. Even the ancient slave, Joyce Heath, whose unlikely appearance amazed the city just 2 weeks earlier, seemed nearly as remote as George Washington himself. Now crowds of excited New Yorkers
thronged
the Sun offices, laying down their shillings for the complete account of the late discoveries in the moon. Or their
you
pennies
can play
for
on and on with your relentless jamming.
About the latest discoveries.
You can bring in the thunderstorm
from our nearby world, the moon. And
you
Joyce Heath,
add
do you
in
know
the crazy
who she
colors.
Was? You ever hear of Joyce Heath?
Yes, we've heard of her. Yeah.
Well,
wow,
she was supposed to have been George Washington's old mammy nanny.
Mammy nun.
And
mammy
she
nun?
Was representing herself as being the oldest woman alive, you see. But then later on...
And she's still alive, right?
Well, according to what I read, it was a...
She died
it
at
was
the
bunkum,
age of...
and they disproved it. They proved she wasn't even 90 years old.
And she's
years
not...
Old, let alone 164 years old, older, whatever she was supposed
now.
To be. Well,
yeah.
You,
not even 90.
You know, these long-lived people don't...
they don't keep good records.
They don't want you to know.
Some of them are like 91. Some of them have like just ancient person's disease.
I saw the world's last...
That disease that
World
makes
War
you
I
old over time.
Veteran is
weird.
Still lucid
Everybody
and giving
gets
good
it.
Interviews and speeches.
But what is time but a place where you hide a slack time bomb in a gym locker?
Do you have any of them landing with an unfortunate...
I lob a few over into the next guy's territory for now. Slow burning fuse.
Now, if you're interested in this controversy about man bats from the moon, there is a new
sure, there's
book
an entire
it.
Book. An
called
entire
The
book.
Sun and the Moon.
But lunar man bats is a 19th century phenomenon, and it is something
they
that
were very popular,
is only part.
Totally believed in them.
It's only part of this whole expose on.
When I was a kid,
true account of hoaxers, showmen, dueling journalists, and lunar man bats.
A movie, some movie. I don't know what movie it was, but with the movie, they showed a trailer for what? Hercules at the center of the Earth, something like that. And I really wanted to see it, but my mom said, "Oh, those things aren't." Accurate mythologically,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah. My parents,
you know, there. It
you
was actually
fantasy.
You can't
no
read
good.
Those. What were the? What was that comic book series? That
it
was
had
very
centaurs
serious?
In it. Also
oh,
a dragon.
Right, yeah. Well, that's.
But
what?
It also advertised the, that it had the giant
comic
flying bat.
Serious comic.
They
the,
were.
And I really wanted to see.
Yes.
I really wanted to
classic
see the giant
to make the
flying bat.
I would say. But it's the real thing. It's just in cartoon form.
So many years later, I caught up with it.
I did. Classics Illustrated was
flying bat.
Wouldn't you agree with this, Dr. Howe, that Classics Illustrated was the way that a lot of kids were able to talk their parents into letting them start buying comic books?
Yeah, probably so.
Because they could say,
maybe so.
Look, Mom, it's the classics.
Some of those were curious and peculiar comics. A lot of them were drawn in an extremely boring 1940s style. But if you're
like
a kid, everything has fascination.
Style.
Yeah,
it reminded me of the Golden Age. This is the way they used to do comics.
Well, those strange elongated figures that everybody used to have. Now more naval footage.
I'm going to look up Classics Illustrated and see what happened to it.
I've got some somewhere tucked away, not too many.
Classics?
Don't forget, there was also Classics Illustrated Junior.
Oh,
you remember that?
Vaguely. What were they?
They were also classics, but they were more like nursery tale classics than.
Certainly would have been.
He couldn't land. He had to keep.
Yeah, he's the wave off, and he comes back in and loses his nose.
Wheel?
You have to go fly off the fuel in the old whale. You can't jettison anything. You don't eject anything. It's very old school. You fall out of the thing. And
did a wheel come off back there?
His whole nose gear collapses, but the guy's a good pilot and brings it in.
Well, he aborted the landing and took off again.
They have the nets up, so he's going to crash into the net.
Oh, wow, that was any landing you can walk away from. That was rather harsh. How are they going to get that thing off the runway?
It actually, the only damage was to the right engine now, so they have a little close-up of it. You did a pretty good job, didn't hurt a thing.
Well,
what about the
nose would be all scraped, and the wheels would be broken.
How are they going to get it up on its landing gear?
He brought it in so smooth that the aircraft remains flight-worthy, you know, after repair.
Now there's the press conference talking about near-air fender.
Yeah, because he happened
disaster.
To have the fun during a giant dance of the... somebody answer the 8484455 and the 5. And there you go.
Please.
Hardened.
I'm not going to do any more show until somebody answers
the
phone.
Don't forget that you're listening to KPFA, KPFB in Berkeley.
KFCF in Fresno, KZFR in Chico.
And on the internet, kpfa.org, your favorite place to go out and find archives of the show and podcast feeds to send to your mom and dad and your friends and enemas and everybody else that you care about on your Christmas list for next year. But get them used to the show early by sending them the podcast link now. Even as we speak, you could be sending out the link to the podcast. And don't forget, there's podcasts that are available in stereo form as that are recorded off of the air. So sometimes you even get to hear the static produced by local thunderstorms and weather anomalies and other strange occurrences that affect the broadcast spectrum. And yet, you can also get non-stereo recorded off of the internet, boring mono versions. They're only boring in the sense of their tonality, but they're still cram-packed with all that content that you've grown to expect and love from the show.
Yeah, you love the show.
That's right.
We love the show.
And so
here
we are.
We are the show.
You can listen to it whenever you want, at your leisure, on your iPod, as you travel to and from the big city and your important job.
As soon as they did the show, the cops
in San Francisco, you could be listening to the show. At your own leisure time. Be it the afternoon or the evening commute time. You and your fellow strap hangers all joyously cavorting together vicariously as you listen to the show.
Get a load of
that. You could have a virtual party with your Bart neighbor. They won't even know it. You won't even know it. But that doesn't matter because it's party time. And it's because you're listening to the show together as a collective unit.
Well, that's one reason.
On your individual podcast feed.
It's just endless lack of slack, you know?
Oh, that looks like a hard landing coming up.
Yeah.
Wow.
We never give you lack of slack.
Now, who was that? It looked like they burst into flame.
Bad collection of bad things.
These are like plane crashes.
Bad things happen to flying planes.
Bad things happen to people sitting around not doing anything. read a magazine.
Yeah, he was like, in each case, it looked, you can see them where they lose.
Upside down, it's flipping, it's rolling. Well, so much for that one.
Yeah, there goes $50 million.
Here's two big bruisers coming in and dropping bombs.
They drop bombs on each other.
Oh,
that's
wow,
the really
look
funny
at that.
Part. That's the good part that humans do a lot of.
Can he eject from this?
No, he killed the other guy. He just
no, he did eject. Isn't that him? That is a chute that went out?
I don't know. I think he just killed the other guy.
Could be.
With his bomb.
Something, it looked like something white
bombs
came
away,
out.
But don't bomb your
oh,
buddy.
Oh, not a helicopter crash.
Oh, don't?
Oh, good God.
Oh, I, no,
crash,
do bomb
bash,
your buddy.
Smash,
no, don't.
Oh,
I forgot.
God.
I should have said that
that's
earlier.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, I really should have said that.
Dump your fuel on things. Your Agent Orange fuel.
Dumping fuel, and the two aircraft collide in the air, and there
they're
they go.
They're just kidding. They don't really mean it.
They didn't mean to hit each other.
Yeah. Slam,
it was an accident, so it's okay.
Crash,
yeah.
Crash. What
when accidents happen to good people,
yep.
They're certainly happening with great frequency.
People die, and they do
and this
get
is
hurt.
The sad music.
People do.
And before they
all
die, they
oh
experience hideous pain and torture.
Because it's almost 420.
And a headache that lasts all year.
Nothing happens.
There's one that's
but it's
totally
7,
on fire, streaming, burning jet fuel.
Every day we salute von Stauffenberg's attempt on Hitler. No, it'd be 7.
Oh,
well, no,
crash,
but
right
Tom
there.
Cruise, he did a good job.
He
huh?
did. It was fun to watch.
Yeah,
crash,
I'm glad to know that. He didn't freak out. I mean, he really brought
right
honor to the Stauffenberg memory.
Just
did he do
big,
that?
You know, he did, and Germany officially said that
smoke.
Recently.
They did.
Said that they
oh,
what they were worried
man.
About was that
he
was going to make
science.
A Mission Impossible 16. No,
yeah.
It was going to be like, you know, the Great Escape and our
crash.
So
it blew up.
They were very
why.
Happy when it was Tom Cruise just doing pretty much
like
a straight
a
story.
Oh, not
yeah. You know, and they
Dr.
cleaned up
crash.
Stuff like when Beck shot himself. He grazed himself and then went, oh, no, and shot himself like this
uh-oh,
and then lay writhing
like
on the floor while Frohm collected all of the people
no.
who,
uh-huh.
collided
with,
who were in the plot.
Yeah.
So there's a guy in the floor going, the whole time.
A jet
yeah.
out
so he orders
control.
Some officer
there's
to shoot him, and he
ejected.
Says, no, a German officer doesn't do that.
Now the plane
so
is
it got down to a lowly sergeant
traveling
who drags the general out and shoots him in another room.
In the middle of
but they shot all those
area.
Guys right away. I mean, within minutes, because they didn't want... there was an actual...
Oh, no.
It
car.
Was almost working. Pretty wild. And then old Adolf goes for another 9 months, and things just kind of go down.
Well,
the big
stopped,
question is
dude.
Why a group of generals who could have stopped it don't.
It's just incredible.
Amazing. Not a bad little movie. I don't know if it's worth... You know, it's probably going to be really fun in the... Now, have you seen Distant Tropic Thunder?
I haven't seen Tropic Thunder.
I have
Thunder,
a copy of it, but I haven't watched it yet.
Very funny. And Tom Cruise is in that, you know.
No, I didn't know that.
A great movie. It's funny. I've been watching the...
Tropic Thunder?
What's it called? No, is that what it's called? T.T. It's
Tropic Thunder.
Downey Jr. and all those guys, yeah.
And Jack Black.
And then in the...
Ben Stiller.
I just watched the... This is...
But it's like Ben Stiller, Jack Black, and Robert
those
Downey.
Those three guys.
Three guys.
Those three guys do the commentary track. And Robert Downey Jr. comes in and stays. Part of the shtick is he's Peter O'Toole in his head in real life, and he becomes a black guy for the show. And then there's an actual black guy, and it's unbelievable. Robert Downey Jr. is so amazing, and he can't get out of the black guy thing. So the real black guy's offended at the fake black guy. And it's very funny. And so when
and
they
that's
do the,
in the movie. That's part of the movie.
And when they do the commentary
line.
Channel, it's Black and Stiller and Robert Downey Jr. comes in. He stays in that character. And
in the black guy character,
kind of freaking them out. Yeah, they're like blah blah blah. And they say, well, you know. And then he gets to the point where the white guy takes off the black guy makeup at the end. There's a great Denny monster. And on the commentary track, he switches to that character now. And stays that way, the Australian guy, until the very end when the movie stops during the credits. And then he becomes Robert Downey Jr. and says, I just had to do that. That's the death of the character. That's over now. You know, and it's like, it's so funny. And
he's funny.
He's amazing.
Yeah, he's very...
He's out there in a way that very few people can be, I think, even in that world. Because his dad, you know, and at 8 years old, his dad's over him saying, pretend like your dad, screaming at him in...
home movies.
No, that it's
what was it?
The one after Putney Swope. Oh, The one in the desert. The
Greaser's Palace.
Greaser's Palace.
Greaser's Palace.
He's the little 8-year-old dead kid in that scene where the mom wakes up and there's a dead kid, the husband, in the redwoods. It's gorgeous. She's like, she gets up and goes, freaks out. And he said, it was awful. You know, it's like I'm your father screaming at you.
Play dead.
You know, and then goes over.
You're breathing.
He's doing the director thing. Yeah.
Who slew
Auntie Lou? Do these drugs to make you play dead?
There's a point at which in the director's Yakky channel where Jack Black makes fun of. There's a lot of drug jokage in the movie, of course. And there's a couple. There's a pile of heroin in the shape of the mashed potato UFO base in Close Encounters. And Jack Black goes into a series of jokes about. Chemical dependency.
Oh yeah.
And Mr. Browning gets really quiet. Doesn't say anything for about 15 minutes. Yeah, long time. And they're off joking about stuff. And he finally kind of comes back in, and then he knows that road much more than Mr. Black or Mr. Stiller, who have never traveled. Make fun of it, but never traveled down that. It's so wonderful. Oh, I've never seen the Stiller doing the one where he is. It's a very dark movie. But he's
the junkie.
Yeah. And that shot of him with his daughter.
Yeah, that's a harrowing shot.
It's
that's
so wonderful. It just goes on and on. You're waiting. What? Is he going to get mugged? Is the daughter going to get killed? What's going to happen? You know, it's so well done. You're just like, please don't make me watch this.
Really?
Yeah, and then it's okay. You know, it's just dad's junkie. Yeah, true story stuff. Stiller's amazing. Another Hollywood kid.
If you have kids, that's a creepy scene. If you don't have kids, it's creepy, but it's even doubly creepy when...
Yeah, when you know what that cost is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good movie. I can't remember the name of that.
Was it called Wet Dogs?
Ugh. Just a horrible thought. Horrible music. Horrible everything, folks.
What was? What movie? I'm sorry. You don't mean Wet Dogs. You're
we're running
talking about
the computer here.
No, it was the Oxbow Incident.
Yeah, okay.
I like that one.
About advising consent.
They hanged Anthony Quinn. Well, you know, the Splash Dogs competition, if going swimming outside in January might require a wetsuit for humans, but doggone it, dogs certainly don't mind. As part of the International Sportsman's Expo, there will be a Splash Dogs competition.
Good.
A chance to claim a $125 first prize and bragging rights that your pooch can out-splash every other pooch in the Bay Area. The contest is pretty much the way it sounds. It's a dog-eat-dog world. Dogs taking turns, attempting the splashiest jump off a man-made dock with a 25-foot
So you would be better off with a large floppy dog, probably,
the rounds
right?
or waves in splash
Big
dog
floppy
of competition culminate
dog.
In a final jump-off Sunday afternoon, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Today through Friday at 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday. Registration
you would
10
be better
a.m.
Off
to 4 p.m. Sunday.
With a large
registration available on-site and in
floppy
advance. $10 practice fee, $20 entry.
Smelly,
practice
well, no,
fee can be
well-washed
used to entrance. San Mateo
canine.
County Event Center, 2495 South Delaware.
To see Slum Dog Millionaire.
Go to www.slumdogmillionaire.com.
Yeah, pretty good.
Wow. Prehistoric beasts.
Really
they were there. I saw them. They're not there now. But
okay, I went to Mumbai and shook movie in the streets. I read a funny article about the craziness of
monsters.
Trying to shoot in the streets of Mumbai because they don't have permits. They don't have anything. They just go to the train station and shoot the crowds and work with what they got. But fun little movie. There it
yes.
is. Wow, okay.
I'm going to have to turn off my computer because I'm... Battery
the slow, sad
lit.
March to the airport continues. The
oh, wait, it says I have 3 hours and 44
going,
minutes.
Going through this cold and frosty, foggy morning.
I don't
here,
believe that,
we can only,
you don't believe it?
I don't believe
it. I don't believe
it either. Has the way
they lie.
Those
little, it's like
and
when they convert stuff to a movie. They give you these times that are wildly crazy. And
oh, if I could.
Someday they'll get better. It's hard to... It's hard for a little brain to think.
It's algorithms, man.
The strange,
it's popcorn
filled slithering of the popcorn.
So, Jack Kirby.
The
great Jack Kirby.
Jack Kirby, yeah.
Actually illustrated some of the illustrated Comics Illustrated.
He did. Well, boy, he got in on a lot of jobs. Why didn't
Reed
Wally
Crandall?
Wood do one? Reed Crandall, excellent artist.
But Joe,
why do
Orlando?
I remember so many that were badly drawn? Joe Orlando, great. Slightly mannered, but I
John
love
Severin?
Severin, yeah, he's another great one.
Angelo Torres, Al Williamson, they were all...
Al Williamson, a masterpiece. Yeah. I mean, possibly, potentially. If he's
I'm
going to
look up, see if it has a cross-reference.
And this is in
Classics
Comics, because all I remember is seeing bad art.
No, no.
Wonderful.
Some of them are so great.
And weird adaptations. Their version of Faust is one of the most psychedelic things ever, and that's not necessarily good. Oh, well.
Yeah, I'm going to have to figure out a way to find a cross-reference of the great artists who actually did some of the work in Classics Illustrated. To debunk the myth of poor art quality in those great, great... Classics. I mean, they were classics in that the way they were positioned to illustrate the classics, but now they have actually become classics in their own rights as representatives of a wonderful genre of ancient comic books.
Another thing about certain comic books is they'd have wonderful covers, these lush paintings that look really good, and then the inside, the art would be a big letdown.
And sometimes the cover would be done by a different artist than the...
It would always be done by a different artist.
Inside.
Sometimes a really good house painter, the Turok Son of Stone covers, I think, are well painted.
And some of the art, the early art in Turok was good.
It got to be kind of routine, but the whole thing was a praiseworthy enterprise. Do you remember also from Dell Comics, Mighty Samson?
Mighty Samson.
Magnus and, Robot Fighter.
And who was the one? Dr.
Solar, of the Atom.
Man of the Atom.
A levitating, greenish, glowing, radioactive scientist in a lab coat. You know, I liked him then, but I didn't like him when he got a superhero suit. I just liked him. This hovering guy in a lab coat was a very interesting character.
And those were on the
Dell Gold Key Comics. Yeah. They also did the Adventures of Space Family Robinson, very similar to a certain TV show that came out later and stole many of its ideas about the Robinson family, you know, Will Robinson and so forth. Except they traveled around. They didn't stay on any one planet. Mighty Samson, interesting. Magnus Robot Fighter, also interesting. And that was drawn by the guy who did...
So what was the relationship between Dell and Gold Key? Because they were... Did Dell eventually buy Gold Key? What was that?
I think Gold Key was like the flagship line of comics that adhered the most to the comics code. Which, in the case of Carl Barth's Donald Duck stories, was a good thing. Those are wonderful in every way. I remember encountering them as a kid and thinking, these are really good. These are like literature.
Yeah.
I didn't know who was drawing it. I never heard of Carl Barth, but I knew that those stories had something really special about them.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
I had heard of him.
Well, eventually, of course, I heard about him. But now they're all old and dead and gone. No more of those guys around.
Except for the... Where is she? Girl from the Green Dimension.
Sergio Aragonés is still around. There are a bunch of old cartoonists around. The EC guys are all mostly gone. And that's sad, because only a few years ago they were still around, many of them. Feldstein is still alive, I believe. And Jack Kamen, or did he die?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Of course, Wood took his own life years ago after he had his stroke and found he could no longer draw.
Magnus Robot Fighter.
Good idea. Put him on the iceberg. Take him in.
Grizzly Graham Engels disowned his magnificent horror comics and became a born-again fundamentalist Christian who thought that all his horror comics that he'd done so hideously were evil.
Mars Patrol.
That just shows how emotionally invested in them he was.
It's easy to get emotionally invested in those
Planet Patrol, that's what I was thinking. It's a marionette TV show.
Like Gerry Anderson's...
Yeah, it's a cheaper studio, but also from England. Yeah, and it's hardly... And well, apparently they're... I've, I've variously heard there's one copy and no copies of anything they ever did.
Those lively little puppets.
I love those Fireball XL5 silly things.
Well, now they've published in a book called Tapping Hitler's Generals, transcripts of secretly taped conversations of Nazi
Hitler's
officers.
Tapping, like they tapped, they did a spinal tap of Hitler's generals.
After they were captured by the British, they were being secretly recorded. And this is everything they said.
Oh, they taped them, not tapped them.
Well, they tapped
them.
The title is they tapped, but in fact they taped.
Yes. Oh, okay. And they didn't like do Hitler's a spinal general. Tap and like stick a big needle in their back and extract some fluid or anything.
No, just but they're taping. Fun. You know,
they tapped their brain in a more metaphorical sense, is what you mean, right?
Well, that's
or do you mean they tapped their phone line?
To decide.
They right. tapped them their conversation surreptitiously. That's what you mean.
Tap dancing around.
Do you mean they invaded their privacy? Those famous Nazis' privacy. That's wrong.
They were prisoners of war.
They hadn't been convicted of that, had they? Have they? Were they convicted of being a prisoner of war? Or can you be convicted of that? Not really, can you? It doesn't make sense.
Quantum theory.
Try to bring that to the table.
Revolutionized our understanding of reality.
We're just going to not. We're going to.
On the most fundamental
scale. Dust that off.
And. 1935, and what would become his most cited paper, Einstein showed that quantum mechanics predicted a seemingly telepathic correlation between two particles, no matter how widely separated. Einstein derided this effect as spooky action at a distance, but later that year, Erwin Schrödinger gave it a name, entanglement. Well, it's vibrating strings, they're plucked by an angel's fingers, yes, and they create the reality that underlies...
They're pretty!
They're gorgeous. So, welcome to heaven.
Yes.
I never thought I'd get here.
Now you're in a Diane von Rostenberg.
Well, you know, they told you triple your money back if you don't get there. That's a pretty strong impetus.
Well, but, you know, once you get there, that still does not guarantee admission. It just gets you there.
Well, yeah.
And then if you can't get in, what's the point?
But getting there is half the fun.
Now, there's one of the secrets of the subgenius church revealed by Dr. Howe.
Travel through the...
It just gets you there. It doesn't get you into X day.
And they shake their tail for you.
They hustle for you. Yes, that's right. They do. That's part of their development, their own development.
They actually wear tails, see? They have tails.
They are constantly in motion. In fact, the word angel actually means one who is in motion. They constantly do the work of the higher spheres. And ultimately, the big cheese, the creator of heaven and earth. The
now, remember Charlton comics, right?
And horned seraphim, I mean.
Were you a fan of the Charlton brand?
I thought they were fascinating. Helmet, seraphim, I mean. That was a terrible slip of the tongue. Yes, Charlton, or I understand they were actually pronounced Carlton, were cheap and on cheap paper, and they exuded an atmosphere of cheapness. And yet they had interesting subjects. For example, I particularly thought fascinating, Kona, Monarch of Monster Isle. As you can imagine, this was a prehistoric world presided over by a big, strong, muscle man with blonde hair. Do you remember him at all?
I don't remember Kona.
Kona, Monarch of Monster Isle.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That was a Carlton comic.
Absolutely, I got some Konas, but that was a later one.
Well, which ones?
Earlier ones were that
they even had their line of funny animal comics, and those were really dismal.
Zoo funnies.
Atomic Bunny.
And Timely Comics.
What about Bouncy Bunny and the Friendly Fago
was the brother of Al Fago. And don't forget, and the thing I liked about Charlton, they had Steve Ditko for a while, remember?
They did? Well, Ditko, that doesn't surprise me. There's something low rent about Ditko, too.
Yeah, he was always sort of willing to go there. I think he was a heavy drinker.
The 60s, the early and middle 60s were such an impoverished time intellectually. Everybody seemed to be strangling, you know, and dying a slow death. And Ditko's world...
Captain Adam...
blank spaces behind it. Basil Wolverton, this jolly guy who draws grotesques, actually has the most dismal world picture of horrible destruction and rotting.
How about those wonderful faces he used to draw?
They are, the faces are like rotting masses of meat. They really are terrible. They may make you laugh.
Big fetid open sores and large carbuncles.
Yeah, huge jagged horrible teeth and you know, zits. Always with leering expressions,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and slobbering.
Yeah, the guy was delicate. You've got to give him that. You know, I love Wolverton.
Yeah, me too.
I collected his science fiction comics.
I like when he would sign it, Wolver Basilton.
He wrote straightforward science fiction comics, which he illustrated, and they're all great. The stories are great.
Do you have
great.
Any of those?
Yes, I do have them somewhere. I even have some in 3D. You need special glasses to... I need to dig them out. You come by, I'll dig them out for you. Otherwise, it's too much trouble to get them out.
Okay, I'm going to look up Herbie comics.
Herbie, that was a very interesting spin-off, that group. They actually were...
Herbie Popnick.
An unofficial spin-off of DC Comics, but they were produced by a different comics group. Does it have the name of that comics group there?
Yes, let's see. ACG, which is American Comics Group.
Yeah, the American Comics Group were actually...
he was the antithesis of a hero.
Herbie was.
He was a parody, a super parody of a superhero.
He, once again, I was disappointed in him when he actually got a superhero suit.
The Fat Fury?
Much liked him better when he just wore his... horrible blue pants and white shirt and little short necktie and could walk through the air dressed like that.
Yeah.
Bowl haircut, thick glasses, and pudgy, expressionless face.
I have a couple of Herbies, I believe.
I do, too, somewhere. But you've got to
have,
them all.
Wrapped in plastic.
You've got to have them all for the gestalt of the experience.
Yeah. You can't understand it. One out of place is like... It's so surreal, you don't know how to interpret it.
They tried hard. I liked it best when it dealt with him and his dad, you know, who was always
Yeah, his dad referred to him as little fat nothing.
He's a little fat nothing. And the mother would say, now, George, you know, he's not little. And he wasn't. He must weigh more than an adult human with his extreme obesity.
Yeah, and he could travel through time, become invisible.
With the aid of special lollipops that he had.
Herbie and his parents were completely unaware of these kind of things. He would
no
just
one
sneak
ever
in
knew
and out of the back.
In one of them, he fell in love and he went back and brought a little dinosaur to give to his beloved from.
Remember his dad's name?
Yes, his dad's name was Pinkus Popnicker.
Pinkus Popnicker.
Pinkus Popnicker. And he, of course, was Herbie Popnicker.
Yeah.
Little Herbie Popnicker. He was obviously Jewish, although they never, of course, they never... Pinkus Popnicker was like Bob Dobbs. He was this total average Joe-type character with, you know, perfectly drawn hair and everything. He's like Joe Average.
Most of his admonitions were perfectly logical.
Well, he was a normal-looking guy, so he had this hideously abnormal son. But he was sort of a weak and impotent character.
Remember, Herbie had hypnotic eyes that could defeat opponents simply by staring at them.
His eyes were so stultifying, they would bore you out of existence once you saw them bulging toward you under the heavy lids that always lay across.
He was famous throughout history, so he could always depend on the help of famous people from the past.
Not only that, he could go into strange realms, especially a place called the Unknown, which is like the vestibule of heaven, and talk with semi-divine beings up there who all knew who he was.
Yeah.
Everybody in the universe
Herbie,
knew who he was,
going?
Except
right.
his own parents who were...
Right. And by talking to animals, he was able to gather information and use their abilities.
Often they only had smart-ass remarks to make.
Yeah, that's true. That was always kind of funny. They provided a comic foil against that no human could do. His powerful lollipops, particularly the hard-to-get cinnamon.
Well, you know, in addition to traveling through time and space with these lollipops, he could also do the worst thing he could possibly do to you, and that is bop you with them.
Yeah, he could bop his adversaries.
His tagline, his catchphrase was, "I'll bop you with this here lollipop."
You want, remember, I should bop you with this here lollipop?
You want, even more Jewish, you want, I should bop you with this here lollipop. Was Kirby's threat to the world.
It gave him super strength, too, you know.
Well, I remember one where they took away his cabinet of lollipops, or his dad locked it or something. He was helpless to defeat.
He could punch very fast, too, remember? Like super fast punching.
Yes, he could. He had these talents, he had these abilities. But then once he got the superhero outfit, I didn't like it as much. You know, they were constantly trying new things with him, but once again, they spoil it when they put him in a silly super suit. Wow, there he is in shorts, and wow, look at that. That looks a little bit like the monster that K-Rob and I are going to show next time, the Ebersis.
Well, you didn't dare let me get killed, I can see that. Nope, got other plans.
Yes, we're going to show a good cartoon and a good monster clip, although it continually challenges our ingenuity to bring out monsters that have not been seen before or by that many people. But the Ebersis is an unusual beast. I think we'll solve that problem for one more time. But then almost immediately have to start thinking of the next one, because I will be gone.
And then we have to think of the next show, like next week. We're going to start thinking about that.
The moment this one is done.
Herbie.
Looks like Herbie's fighting a giant penguin in that episode that you've got.
Yeah, that penguin is awfully tough. He came back for more, but... Sure, come on, you scoundrel. Fight, chicken.
That looks like Pincus in the ring. It's Herbie's dad forced to box in a boxing ring. What a nightmare.
Glurp.
This is a recording. Yes, Herbie beating up a dinosaur back there. Did you see that?
I'm sorry, your call did not go through. Will you please hang up and try again? But this is a recording. I think he's serious.
That's Jerry Ford.
No.
Jerry Ford.
He gets a Fu Manchu gets a two-headed, two-fisted treatment in Herbie number 16. You don't mess around with that theory, not unless your insurance is paid.
Comprehensive comic book version.
So I guess we're off on some arcane side tangent right now.
Oh, I don't know. Obviously, Herbie had to do
somewhat with our There's nobody in the audience that cares a bit about Herbie, and we've been ranting and geeking about Herbie for
but what nobody understands
going on 10, 20 minutes
now. Today, there are a million types of idiotic diversion, but... Then, in the early 60s, when that came out, nobody dared to be a weirdo. And so that made it all
that.
The more remarkable. There's this comic book about this unappetizing, unattractive, weird character with all these amazing powers.
And he sort of like let every nerd, geek, weird, goofball know that you can triumph. You can overcome.
He would always triumph, but... aside from that, they, sometimes it was well written, sometimes it was just crudely written. You never know what you're getting. It's like the Three Stooges or something. But I would always get them, certainly.
Remember how women would swoon over Herbie? They loved his physique.
Did you read any of the other comics put out by that company, like Mysteries of Unknown Worlds, for example?
Yeah. Let me go back to that American Comics group.
Who was that space detective who had this weird space helmet where the bottom of it wasn't even there, and he always thought he would just strangle because he's not being protected from the effect of space. And he had a little alien sidekick, but I'm trying to think of the guy's name.
There's actually a lot of information about comics and the history of the various comics groups. And
naturally.
In the golden and silver age of comic books.
Well, I had occasion to mention Wayne Boring.
Forbidden Worlds was one of their titles.
Yeah, Forbidden Worlds, right. That's, I wish I had some of those. Those are very interesting. Those could be very interesting comments.
Yeah, Forbidden Worlds. I think I'm going to look up that title.
Drawn by Shane O'Shea and Ogden Whitney. But the thing is, they were the same artists who drew Herbie.
Pete Constanza.
Yes, with the fake name and comics. Even after EC was gone, they kept coming out things with those views.
I'm glad there's all these new movies based on... When they get into these, they get out of the Marvel group and they start getting into these more obscure groups. And they do movies of like, you know, maybe Herbie. That would be good.
But Herbie was never that popular. It was only for weirdos. And most people would... would read Archie or Superman. Very few would actually.
You know what? Another one I liked had to do with. There was like this parody of. They were called the Something Five. Let me think about it for a minute. But they were a parody superhero group.
You don't mean Metal Man.
They were like a parody of Metal Man. Actually, or not even more, it's more like a parody of the Fantastic Four or something. But there was
only
five
they were
of
five,
them.
Eh?
And
the Frantic Five.
Remember, they were drawn in a kooky style.
Wally Wood had a group of people called the Misfits, and they were mutants, and they went to other planets and solved crimes.
This was almost on the level of a fantasy. Of like a goofball level.
There's some of these stories are so goofy, and they're supposed to be taken at straight face. There's Carmine Infantino believed that anytime you put a gorilla on the cover of a comic book, you sell more comic books. And so he had all these stories with gorillas, including the brain gorilla, you know, the super intelligent intellectual gorilla that's trying to enslave the whole world. And how about the Legion of Atomic Knights? It's like a post-Holocaust world, and everything's radioactive, but these guys put on knight's armor, and they solve crimes or whatever. I don't know what they eat. There don't seem to be any animals or plants anymore. Energy pills or something.
Yeah, no, they eat the dirt. They get to, you know, just eat dirt now. Makes it easy because you don't have to debate what you're going to cook or, you know, how you're going to prepare it. Or
there was also a strange subcategory of comics which were created to advertise certain specific products. So to get you to try the product, you'd read the story about somebody, like, for example, Major Indicator, who went to the moon and defeated the evil lunar tyrant Roxittle, but it's to make you drink Inipac, which is some sort of stuff that you put in your milk, you know. It obviously comes in a pack, as its name suggests. But not the story of Major Inipac.
And you knew that Carl Icahn was the owner who really forced Marvel into bankruptcy back in 1996, right?
Yeah, well, but Marvel had the last laugh, and it is now considered a money maker.
Yeah. That's so great, and I hope Carl Icahn doesn't get any part of that.
Well, what Stan Lee gets all the glory, and Jack Kirby lies insensate in his grave.
And Carl Icahn never made any money off of growing a company. He only made money off of completely gutting companies.
I remember when Susan Storm and Reed Richards got married. Did you ever have that comic?
Did have that one. It was like a big special.
It was a big special with more pages than usual because not only did all the good guys come, but all the bad guys came. Yeah. There was a huge fight, and by the end of the story, Stan Lee and Jack Kirby came in their tuxedos but were denied entrance and had to return in disgrace, unable to get into the wedding of Susan Storm, the Invisible Girl, and Reed Richards, a.k.a. Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah. That was a great... I believe I probably still have that
one. That was a damn good one. I read it at the drugstore and didn't buy it.
Are you going to buy that magazine?
Oh, no thanks. I already read it. Should have bought it because now it's worth a zillion dollars.
What that was, it was the
comic book
Something book. Five. And I remember it had one character that was sort of like it reminded me a little bit of that of those types of superheroes that were in Mystery Men, the movie.
If you wanted to be really diligent,
maybe it was
you
the mystery five.
No, put in the word five and do and a pictorial search and just go through the columns until you reach it. Worlds on worlds of turning over.
Yeah, well, where is he, man?
From creation to decay.
We got control over nothing. Oh, we got control over nothing.
No, it's too old to come up that way.
I could.
You're disturbing the peaceful mood I'm in.
You are disturbing the
peaceful frame
of mind.
Seems like there's an alliteration there, so it's the F something.
You are disturbing my peaceful
fabulous
frame of mind.
Fantastic five.
It couldn't be fantastic. It would have to be something similar.
I remember one character looked like a court jester. He had sort of a little cockeyed sprite hat, you know, with the bells on it.
That'll strike terror into the hearts of criminals everywhere.
I think one guy was really fat.
And that also. Remember Bouncing Boy?
Yeah, I remember. But
he's a fat guy who bounces.
Yeah.
Very strange superhero. It took him a long time before he was admitted into the Legion of Teenage Superheroes. At first, they just wanted
to. They wanted him to go to,
him.
Like, to a, you know, a weight farm. And he came in. Finally, he did come in. Remember, he could lose. He could actually lose his weight. And then he could fit
I think
the
you're
doors.
Right. I think they did make him lose weight. That's terrible. Yeah. His whole superpower was depending on being able to bounce, and they made him lose weight.
But he could blow up like a
puffer fish.
Fish.
Yes, that's right.
Then bounce around like a basketball.
Let's not be stupid here.
Okay.
All right.
We're not.
Yes, that Bishop Joey is going to be taking that long march to the airport. That slow motion march, the procession of flagellants that's going to start.
The procession of pyroflagellants?
Flagellants that will be flashing and slashing themselves with leather tipped whips as they walk.
They may be doing that, but I suspect there will be some flagellants in the procession as well. Maybe not highlighted as such,
unknown
but
God.
No doubt if strategically placed pilot lights were available in the procession, you might see the excess gas actually burning off and providing
like a conqueror's path to thorns and death.
External pollution, as it were. Because, you know, if there's enough of these processions, it could contribute to global warming through the addition of methane gas to the atmosphere
it
and
might,
subsequent acceleration of
heat
that will happen. It's not can happen, but will happen.
So you should say they should stay at home and their large flat feet shouldn't be slapping on the concrete as
that's
they make
right.
their
stay
sad
at home,
and
keep
lonely
your
way
flatulence
down
inside the house where the appropriate mechanisms can scrub
giant
the air
Bishop Joey
from its polluted particles.
They will be attempting to lose their extra poundage by
hard
air. Physical
and we can salvage the methane in
right.
the gas
exercise.
To power the home
this country
with.
Hard physical
so don't waste dads
productive
capability in his old age.
Early
you should be able to mine
the
this
world is waiting.
Bishop
as
Joey
an alternative
here are
resource.
A few maps in case you get lost
using
along the way.
This brilliant new technology available
don't
just
forget,
now Jack, on the internet.
Hundreds
this I was 20 years
various
old,
so, locations.
I still believed in good and evil.
Just use your favorite search engine.
Was the sexiest man I'd ever laid eyes on.
For
and
he was
search
smart.
For
Bishop
Flatulence Modified.
The powerhouse church.
And I didn't know any better.
First
I had a trust fund and I was bored.
So,
and then one night he came home,
that's all,
put a gun to my head and pulled the trigger.
Your eyes
just to see the look on my face when I heard the click and realized
it
was empty.
shit.
Lord, I'm bored, Lord. Well, then,
real cowboys
the
are strong
will find
and tough.
For you.
American trucks.
He will
don't
find a way to set
the
your
Lord's
idle
not my shepherd, he's my buddy.
What'd you say your name
you
was
can
again?
Send your
Lord
Lord.
He's playing basketball again.
Lord, we have hirelings in the camp and in the court and in the university. Who would, if they could, forever suppress
five.
Mental
somebody help me out here. Come on, throw me a bone, y'all. Y'all guys.
What's the problem?
Out there in the ozone, the ether world,
okay,
and the broadcast spectrum. Throw us a bone here. Tell us what that comic title was. You know, I'm thinking maybe it was a Dell. I mean, a DC. It might have been a DC.
That's right. A DC.
Yeah, but believing it was DC, good. A parody.
Okay, well,
now
you can explain something for me. I never understood, like, Ant-Man. Wasn't there another little tiny guy besides Ant-Man? But one of them could talk to the ants. He actually went into ant hills.
That was Ant-Man. Ant-Man did that. He later became Giant-Man, remember?
Well, that was the switch in his job description.
Yeah. But originally it was Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Okay.
Oh, the Wasp, yes, yeah. Also became tiny. But
and that
he
was
didn't
back before they had their own title. They were simply an occasional character
he had
in
these
the
antennae on his helmet.
Tales
he
to Astonish. Tales to Astonish was the title that Ant-Man appeared
so
in.
And then there was Aunt Bertha.
Take your time.
There was Ant-Man along with the Submariner
Box
for a while.
One.
As co-partners. Ant-Man also appeared with Thor.
Ant-Man.
I mean, we were going to buy a dog together.
Tales to Astonish. What a wonderful...
Well, boy, I'm sure lucky I found out about you before we wrecked his little life.
What about you, Colin?
That's what Aunt Bertha sounded like when she was small.
Someone hurt you?
Wrecked his little life.
Don't hate me,
Al.
Please don't hate me. I want you to just remember the good times.
Okay,
I want you to remember the way we were.
I want you to compile the shenanigans to the rumpus room. Even down to a dull war.
Have
one of those sex things about me tonight, okay? You're welcome.
You have it. I can't do this. Sorry. We can't always say what we want to say. You know what? All right, dude. Next caller. I don't know.
It's like the Chinese water torture treatment. Right? Drip, 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 drip. It keeps getting worse, 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 and worse. And finally you say, this is nuts. What do we got this garbage on the air for?
Bob. Hal Jr.
Good night, Hal.
Come on, Hal. Get a goddamn gun.
You are fined 1 credit for a violation of the verbal morality statute.
We thought it would be funny if our Bob, dressed as a policeman, would tell a perfect stranger that her husband is dead.
Greetings and salutations. I'm Associate Bob. We met before. Ever so briefly, I was struggling in fear at the time.
They're nothing but thugs and hooligans.